Hey guys, welcome to Sisters Saved in Christ.
I'm your host, Kara.
And I'm your host, Jasmine.
And we're really excited to be starting this podcast with you guys. This is something we've been talking about for a while, I think, and we just finally decided to act on it. Today, we're going to be talking about our testimonies. This is something we've touched on a little bit in our small group program that we started at our church, which has been really exciting, by the way. We've started making friends at our church, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, I feel like the testimonies are a good way to connect with people. I mean, even whenever it's not even the topic of conversation, there was a new girl today, and we weren't even talking about testimonies, but she got into hers, and, you know, we ended up becoming close with her. So, you never know what other people are going through. And she had a big smile on her face. I was like, girl, you went through all that. I don't know. It just shows that even if you go through all those things, God will still make sure you're okay. Like, one of the girls even said, when you're going through the storms and going through all that stuff, that's when God is literally right there. He's so personal. He, like, hugs you like you're his baby, like, and you feel him. So, I think everybody has their own trials and tribulations that they can talk about.
That goes hand in hand with surrendering everything to God, which we also talked about today. And I feel like that ties with your testimonies, because you're surrendering everything to him. And whenever you're going through, like, your life struggles and you're starting your relationship with God, you're a little confused at first because you don't know, like, the correct way to do things. And you're struggling with trying to figure out how to be the perfect Christian. How do I pray? How do I make sure that I sound good enough for God? How do I build a relationship with him? And it's really hard starting out in your faith and trying to become confident in yourself. And so we talked about surrendering over to God, like, all your struggles, all your anxieties. And that way, like, because it's not your battle on your own. It's God, too.
And another thing, since this is our first episode, kind of getting into the podcast, we were in church today, and literally our pastor was talking about fame and, like, don't chase fame, like, chase God. And that's not what we're doing. We're not chasing fame. We're just hoping to spread the word and kind of help people connect with him too. The verse that they had in our church service today was 1 Thessalonians 2, and it's verse 4. It says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. So that's literally God is just trusting us to spread his word, to help build his army, his kingdom in heaven. He wants everybody to be there. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. So I mean, if people are like, oh, well, you're Christian, you don't like me because I do this, this, and this, and those are sins. No, we still love you, and God still loves you. He knew you're gonna sin before you even did it. He just wants you to find him and then go to heaven. So that's all we're doing with the podcast, is just trying to spread the word and hoping to reach whoever needs to hear it.
I think that was something that we really needed to hear too, because we've been talking and we've been kind of like doubting ourselves, like, are we really in the position to be starting a podcast? Because we love listening to other Christian podcasts, and we're like, you know, are we qualified? Like, but when he read that quote from the Bible, it really, like, at least for me, it solidified doing this, because even if this only reaches one person, we're still doing what God told us to do in the Bible, where it says, go make disciples of each other, go be fishers of men, like, bring people, spread the gospel. And even if one person ever hears this and be like, oh my God, that resonates with me, it makes you feel like you're doing something good. And I feel like the discussion that we had in church today about fame, it really resonated, and I really sat down with the thought that, you know, I am going to go through with this because it's something that I'm doing to honor God, not myself.
Yeah. And then two things off of that. The first thing is, even if it just reaches one, that's the one of the 99.
Exactly.
That, like, that's who God wants, is the one who is lost. He doesn't need to keep working on everyone who already knows him. He wants to work on people who need his help and needs him there. And it literally says in the Bible, everyone in heaven rejoices when that one lost person comes to God. And then the second thing off of that was really struggling with starting a podcast. I mean, there's so many people in my past that are going to see this and listen to this and be like, what is this girl? Like, who did she turn into?
When did she become a Christian?
Yeah. And I literally was texting Kara, and I was like, Kara, I know this is the enemy talking to me, trying to not get me to spread the word of God, but I just know people in my past probably going to try canceling me or, you know, pulling something from, like, my old Instagram account or, you know, whatever. We all do stupid things when we're in high school and think that that's the cool thing to do or whatever. But just don't let that stop you. If God put the thought in your head to spread the word, just listen, because the devil's obviously going to try and take you off that path. Because he doesn't want everybody to be safe. He want misery loves company.
You also have to think about the fact that God's never going to put you in a position to do something that will set you up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what our God is. That's not what he's about. When he puts something on your heart, it's for a reason. Like, 100% it's for a reason. Even if you don't understand how he's working in your life, that's okay. You just have to be, like, patient and understanding and faithful.
Yeah.
If you don't understand what he's doing, that's okay, because most of the time we don't know how he's working in our life. And that's what I believe Christians struggle with the hardest, because it kind of feels like God is silent, like he's not talking to us anymore. And when God is silent, that means he's working. You just have to stay faithful. There was something that happened a couple weeks ago, and it was really hitting home, and I just kept repeating to myself, God, I trust you. It's in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept repeating it, and the more I repeated it, the more confident I became. And I can testify that everything worked out and everything is going good. And I just feel like you just have to repeat that to yourself in your struggle of doubting.
And I don't know if which gospel it's in. I think it's John. I don't remember. But it's when Jesus rose from the dead, or rose from the grave. And Thomas was like, I'm not going to believe it unless I see the holes in his hands, the slash in his mm-hmm. side, like all that. And Jesus shows him. He's like, touch it then. Touch my hands. He said, you believe because you saw it. But blessed are those who believe me and they don't see anything.
So they have that faith.
Yeah, just because you're not seeing anything, that's what Christianity and faith is built on. We just trust our God because he's done so many things for us up until this point. We don't need to question him and ask for evidence. We don't need that. And he's probably not going to give it to us anyways until the time is ready.
Yeah.
So just really just trust and have faith.
Yeah. I think that's a good segue to go into our testimonies, because starting out with your journey with Christ, you don't really see him. And I feel like it's hard to really mm-hmm. feel him, because you don't understand that intensity of love that you feel when you're in your relationship with God.
Yeah.
For example, I grew up in the church with my grandma, because we would spend the night with her every Saturday and then go to church in the morning on Sunday. And to me, it felt like something that I was just like required to do, and it was like something fun to get out the house. But whenever I went to church, I never really felt that intensity of God's love. I didn't understand the scripture when the pastor was reading it. I enjoyed going for the coffee and the donuts. That was always the first thing I went to when I went to church. And I looked forward to the worship songs. Even though I didn't fully understand them, it was fun to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back on that now and I realized that I wasn't interested because I also didn't take the time to understand or ask questions. And that was a flaw on my part. And it was just really hard for me to get into the Word of God. I didn't understand the scripture. Like, nothing was really making sense to me. But then, fast forward, like, years later, I'm still going to church with my grandma, but her health had started to decline, and she had went into the hospice in 2020, and she had passed away. And something that really hit home for me was when I realized that a lot of people that I grew up with in the church weren't really there for her at her funeral. And it just made me feel a lot of bitterness in my heart, and I was really angry for a long time. And I was angry at God, I'm not gonna lie. Like, even though I didn't really have that relationship with Christ, I was angry at him, because it was the one thing that I couldn't be angry at anybody else, so I turned to be angry yeah. at him. And I was just upset because I didn't understand how or why she was taken. Like, it just, to me, it didn't feel like her time. Like, I wasn't ready yet. Nobody in our family was ready yet. It didn't make sense. And it felt like everything happened so fast. And then I just felt all that bitterness. And I fell into a depression and I really started to question my purpose in life with, like, the meaning of life. And that's when I think that I started developing my intense fear of the afterlife. And the thought of it would send me into, like, a full-blown panic attack. Like, I would start hyperventilating. I would cry. Because I just couldn't make sense of the fact that, you know, one day we're here, and then the next day we're not. And it just sent me into, like, a spiral, because I couldn't make sense of it. Like, why am I here then? Like, what is my purpose if none of this is going to amount to anything? Like, there has to be something greater for me out there, or else I feel like this is all for nothing and that I shouldn't even really try in life if it's all just gonna come to an end. And I think since moving to where I live now, I started getting exposed to more religious things, and I was like, you know, I want to get back into that faith that I was in when I was growing up. So I started sitting down reading the Bible, and if I didn't understand something, I pulled up this website called Enduring Word, and it gives you, like, a commentary on every single thing in the Bible. And it was just, like, really eye-opening, and I finally felt like my eyes were open and that I could make sense of things. And that's when I started getting heavy into my relationship with Christ. I would start listening to worship music. I would start listening to Christian podcasts, sermons on YouTube. And that's when Jasmine texted me, and I'll let her talk more on this whenever she speaks about hers. But she mentioned wanting to go to church, and then we tried one together, the one that we're going to now, and it really, really just, like, solidified my relationship with him. And I've never felt closer to God than I do right now. And personally, I don't see Christianity as a religion. I don't see being Christian as a religion. Mm-hmm. I view it as a relationship with my God.
Mm-hmm.
I have the opportunity to talk to God whenever I want. I can do it in the comfort of my home. I can do it when I wake up in the morning. I can do it on my way to work if I have a long commute. We have that opportunity, and it's such a blessing that we can talk to him whenever we want, and that I never have a deadline.
Yeah.
And so that's my testimony. It's nothing drastic or major. But I'll let Jasmine speak on hers.
Yeah, so kind of the same thing. And I feel like this goes for a lot of people. I know there are some people that grow up in the church and grow up being religious with their parents. That just wasn't my story. My mom grew up Catholic and my dad grew up Christian. But he is one of those firm believers, and I am too. Christianity doesn't mean going to church, you know, and all this and that. It means loving God, praying at your home or wherever you're comfortable, you know. Like, you don't have to go to church to make a connection with God. And I felt the same way, but me being young, I took it as, oh, church, like, I don't need to go to church, you know, I can just do this in my room. But me thinking like that also just put God on the back burner. Just was not my priority. I made a lot of friendships where we lived before, but they were just friendships I made in a worldly life. None of them, like, lasted. A lot of them ended very bitterly. A lot of them I regret. I mean, my, like, first long friendship back home, we still text and stuff now every now and then. I mean, we see each other on Facebook or whatever, but it's just, you look back and you're like, dang, I wish I knew God back then. And, you know, things would have changed. Things would have been different. But, you know, life goes on. I meet my husband, we move here, and there was no real reason we wanted to move. We just knew we didn't want to be over there anymore where we were. And so we moved here, and ever since we moved here, just like Kara said, there's just so many people that reach out and, like, just share the word of God. I mean, we worked together, and there were these clients that would give us little pamphlets from their church, or tiny little, like, little miniature books that said, like, Jesus loves you, and would have, like, a few little verses on the inside. Me and Andres got rosaries in our cars, but again, we just never really built that relationship with God. We just kind of had it there, you know. And I think, I don't even know what prompted me to. I just started reading my Bible again, and me and Kara both started listening to the podcast, and, you know, started texting each other about our faith and how we both wanted to get really serious about it. And then one night, like, I was in bed. I was like, I don't even know Kara's awake. But I was like, let me text her. And I was like, let's go to a church. If we don't find the right one first, we'll just keep going to other ones until we do. So me and her we were up that night looking at so many different churches. We were like, okay, this one, and if this one doesn't work, then this one, you know. So we had, like, a lineup.
We were making some backup plans.
Yeah, we had plan A through, like, G. Yeah. we had a bunch, like, lined up. So we went to church that week. I was so nervous. I remember I videoed myself getting ready, like, you know.
Picking me up. You, like, vlogged, yeah, it. It was super cute.
Yeah, and, you know, we went. We were nervous, but we got there. As soon as we got to the door, they greeted us, and,
they,
you know,
immediately knew it was our first time, yeah, which I have never experienced that before, because I grew up in the same church.
Yeah.
But I feel like the fact that they were able to see us as new, it was already such a good, like, green flag, yeah, in our eyes, because it shows how united and family-like they are. And now that we've been going there for several months, I truly see it. Like, I see why they knew that it was our first time, because everyone takes the time to actually talk to each other, mm-hmm, and get to know them.
I mean, even our pastor, he talks to us and, like, really gets to know. I mean, we have, like, nicknames and, like, everything. I mean, it's more than just this is what we do on Sundays. It's more, you build a community, and it's really nice to be part of that. But we went our first time, and it just stuck. We loved the worship music. We loved the message. Get home, and, you know, I'm telling my husband about everything. And, you know, he's the type of person, if I, like, force him to do something, then he's not going to want to do it. So I didn't want to, like, force it down his throat to come with us to church or anything like that. But we actually ended up convincing him and Kara's boyfriend to come with us one time. And after that, my husband, I think, opened up his eyes a little bit more. I've said this so many times, but every time I want to tear up. But he just came up to me one day when he got home from work, and he was like, I'm so happy for you. And I said, why? And he just said, I'm just happy you found your relationship with God. But ever since then, he's been striving to do the same thing. So, I mean, he's been going to church more, too. And, you know, it's just God using us all as a vessel to get to each other. And I really do believe if both partners in the relationship reach for God, it brings them closer together. I mean, we haven't had a real argument since then.
Because you have that foundation.
Yeah. We haven't had a real argument since then. Whenever we argue, I'll look at him, and not really argue, just, like, bicker. I'll look at him and be like, you need to rebuke your demons. And then we just start laughing, you know. Everything just kind of became more calm and simple, and I really think that God moved us here to experience that, because where we were, it was just so worldly, and we didn't see any of that kind of stuff. I mean, we go out and we see just, like, bad stuff happening. You know, there was so much crime and stuff where we were, and I really think God moved us here for a reason, and it's been better for the both of us. So, you know, we just hope we can continue spreading it.
Yeah. I want to talk more on the fact of, like, God using us as vessels. Because I feel like that's something I pray for every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do know some non-believers in my life and people who I genuinely care about. And I pray to God every day to use me as a vessel. Because even planting something as small as a mustard seed could blossom into something entirely different, mm-hmm, one day. And I just ask him, I say, God, please use me as a vessel. Please allow me to have an open heart and be confident in spreading your word. But I feel like it's also kind of scary, because you don't want to feel like you're shoving it down anyone's throat.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is also why we wanted to create this podcast, so that way we can be confident in speaking about our faith while everyone has the chance to listen to this whenever they have the opportunity. It's, mm-hmm, up to them. And I feel like this is also why it was a sign from God to start this podcast, and it's something that I'm truly excited about. Because it's scary talking to your faith when you're new into it. Like, I admit that I do not know everything in the Bible, and I get kind of nervous to bring up these conversations to people, because especially if they're a non-believer and they ask me a question and I'm not able to answer, I would hate to be the reason why, if I don't seem confident in what I'm saying to them, it's going to be the reason they don't really want to turn to God.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, well, that's not valid.
But
yeah.
I want to just say that it's perfectly okay to tell someone that you don't know the answer to that, but the Bible does.
Yeah, and the Bible is the living word. I mean, John 1:1, it says, the Word is God and God is the Word. Like, and it's the living Word. So we could read the exact same verse and it could be speaking to me, but it could be speaking something totally different to you, because it just, whatever it, whatever you need to hear, it's going to tell you. I mean, there's been a few times where I'll put up the Bible and I'll text Kara, be like, you won't believe what I just read. Like, I can't believe that was the verse. It could have
been something we talked about earlier in the day.
Yeah, and a lot of it, like, I've been going through a waiting period, and, like, a lot of it, I would open up the Bible and be like, dang, he knew what I needed to read today, you know? That kind of
felt personal.
Yeah, like, he's talking to us. So, I mean, really, just, if all else fails, open up that Bible. Even if, like, if I don't have time during the day, when I sit down and go to bed, it could be 11 o'clock at night, I'll at least read one chapter. You know.
I also, like, I don't know if you've tried this, but this was something that I tried the other night, and I really liked it. I want to try to stop getting on my phone at night and, like, just, like, endless scrolling on social media, mm-hmm. because I've realized how bad it is for me. So, I went on YouTube, and there was this video. I really forgot the channel, and I'll mention it next time if I remember.
We can link it in the description.
We can link it in the description. But it was like a reenactment of the Bible. So mm-hmm. I started with Genesis, and it was showing like visuals, and it was a narrator reading the Bible. And I listened to that, and I ended up falling asleep to it. But in the morning, I felt a difference when I woke up.
Yeah. I mean, even me and Kara recorded, like, a pilot episode, we'll call it that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we were both so tired. I mean, it was raining outside. We just ate. We were, like, in a food coma. We were so tired.
We were about to take a nap, not gonna lie.
We walked into her house, and I was like, do we really feel like doing this right now? But immediately after we finished, we were energized. We were like, that was good, you know. It was basically like an energy drink.
And then, like, we could not wipe the smiles off our face for anything. Like, we just felt so energized.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you're talking about your faith and when you're talking about God and the Word of God. You come to life because yeah. it's the living Word. Like, there's no other way to describe it. Like, there will be days that I'll admit my life gets busy and this is an excuse. But I'll go a couple days without reading the Bible, mm-hmm. and I'll start feeling like this spiritual warfare, where I'm just, like, feeling so down. I'm feeling so much, like, I'll realize I get angry faster, I get more frustrated, and I'm like, okay, let me pray to God about it. Let me open my Bible, and I'll open my Bible, I'll spend time in His Word, and then I'm like, that's what I should have done. Like, yeah. I need to be running to the Bible whenever I start feeling all these frustrations, when I start feeling bitterness or, like, mm-hmm. anger. I need to go to the Bible because that is what is going to calm me down and give me peace.
Especially the world we live in. Like, there's a reason why it's called worldly. Like, the enemy is influencing every single thing. Hollywood, music, everything. So, I mean, when we live in the world we live in today, it's important to not only read your Bible, but pray. Like, pray and talk to God. Because, I mean, and it really doesn't matter where. There's times where I'm in my car and I'm not feeling it. I'll put my worship playlist on and I'll start crying. And I'll be like, God, you're so good. Like, you're so good, God. And, you know, that's talking to God. And if you feel those tingles or, you know, you feel that that's God. That's the Spirit with you. Like, God sees you even when you're alone. And even in the Bible, it says, when you pray and you worship, don't make a show out of it. Do it in private, because when you do it in private, it's not about, oh, look at me, I'm praying, or oh, look at me, I'm connected to God. When you're doing it in private, you're doing it for anyone except for God, and God sees it. So, and God appreciates that.
That was actually something that I brought up in our small group today. We're in a small group at church with a couple other people. It's mm-hmm. like a pretty decent amount. And I brought up about how when I was first getting into my faith and my relationship with Christ, I felt really intimidated by prayer.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't something that I had spent a lot of time doing. And when you listen to sermons, or if you go to church and the pastor prays, or you hear other people praying, to me, they just always sounded like experts. Like, it sounded, the way that the word would flow, it would just feel like everything was all coming together. Like, they were just sounding so beautiful in the way that they were talking to God.
Like, it sounded intelligent.
And so I was always intimidated by praying because I felt like I sounded stupid, or I didn't know enough about Christ yet to be talking to Him. And I was really shocked to see how many people other agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to let y'all know that do not be afraid to pray. You do not have to sound a certain way. There's no expectation. You just have to give thanks. You just talk to him. Like, you have that personal relationship with him. That is such an advantage. Use it. Like, do not be scared. You just have to surrender everything that you have on your heart. If you're having finance struggle, if you're going through a career change, or if you have struggles in anything about your personal life, you can talk to him. Just empty it all to him, and he'll take it from you. He'll guide you on what to do. You don't have to sound fancy. You just, there's something in the Bible, and I wish I had it memorized, but in the Bible it talks about how when you are praying, you just have to be confident in your faith, and you have to be genuine. And as soon as you open your mouth to speak, God will give you the words to say. And that is true. Like, I have experienced that. There's sometimes I don't know what I want to pray, but I'll just go to open my mouth, and then suddenly I've been talking to God for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't even have to be, I mean, you could pray in a prayer journal. I mean, I do that every day.
I love writing that down.
You could write it down. You could say it in your head. I mean, God can read your thoughts. God knows what you're thinking. But also a big thing is, well, big two things is, I forget which verse and I forget which chapter, but it's in the Gospels. And it says, pray, believe that you will receive what you're praying for, mm-hmm. and it will happen. So be confident that God will give it to you in his will. Make sure you're praying, like, I could be praying for a lot of things, but make sure you're like, God, if it's in your will, please let it be done. And if not, like, just let me know, you know, just make sure you're not, oh, give me this, I want this, I need this. If it's not in his will, you're not going to get it. So just, it's almost a respect thing. Like, don't tell him to give you all this stuff. Ask him, is this in your will? If it is, please let me have it.
And always give thanks.
Yes.
He has done so much for us. Yes, he is a mighty, powerful God. But we shouldn't only be coming to him with our needs.
Mm-hmm.
We need to just be coming to him with our gratitude.
Yes. I mean, there's some times where I'll pray and I'll be like, God, thank you for this XYZ. You know, thank you for XYZ. And I fully submit everything to you. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that'll be my prayer. Like, I don't have to get anything to ask for. Yeah. You don't have to get deep. You don't have to get all into a list of things you need and want. You could just say, thank you. You've done a good job. Like you always do. Yeah, as you always do. And just leave it at that. I mean, you don't have to have a whole narrative every time you talk to him.
I want to talk more on waiting seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to do a whole episode on that. But I do want to just say that if you're ever waiting for something, and I spoke with Jasmine about this the other day, it's okay to also ask God for the patience to wait for when he's working in your life, because sometimes I feel like we can be so eager to receive on his behalf, that we're so eager that we don't really stop to take the time to see how he's working in the small things, because we're so eager for the big thing that we have been asking for, and we're not being patient. And so that's causing us to think, oh, God's not really working in my life. He's silent. He's not with me. So where is he at? And you start questioning him, asking why, and doubting him. When if you're not taking the time to be patient and to understand that he is working, you're not going to see how he is working. And that is going to pull you away from your relationship with him. And so it's okay to ask God for the understanding when you don't understand how he is working.
It's okay to just take a step back and trust that he knows what he's doing. Because once you try to take control of everything and try to make everything work on your own accord, that's when the enemy infiltrates. That's when, you know, you're going to force this to happen. You're not going to let it happen naturally. You're doing it your way this, all that stuff. But it's never your way, and it's never going to be. It's God's way. And if your way aligns with God's will, then okay, yeah, it will go that way. But it's not because it's your way. It's because that's what God wants. So just never take things into your own hands and stop trusting in him, because that hurts your relationship with him. And I mean, I think he literally is the Heavenly Father. Think of your parent and how much they'd be so hurt and disappointed that you just didn't trust them to do what they said they were going to do, or do what they know is best for you. That you're hurting your parent, you're hurting God. Like, it's okay to just step back and say, you know what, you got it, I trust in you, and just go about your day. Everything else will come in time.
Stop worrying about it.
Yeah, and like I said before, worrying does nothing but give you wrinkles. Like, it does nothing for you. It makes you depressed. It makes you anxious. Then it's the only thing on your mind. I mean, you have physical effects. You'll start shaking and your heart will start racing. Worrying does nothing for you. Worry and anxiety and all of that, that's the work of the devil.
I can actually really testify is. To that, because that was, I'm going to go back to my fear of the afterlife, because when I tell you that was something that physically anchored me down, it was something I thought about daily, and it would actually make me spiral, and I would always just feel this sinking feeling in my chest. But when, after a couple of visits at our church, our pastor actually came up to us, and we were introducing ourselves, and I don't know what caused me to open up about my fear about it to him, but I did. I think it was because we were doing like a Hope of Heaven series,
mm-hmm.
and it was about heaven and talking about how the Bible describes heaven and answering any questions or doubts about it. And I just opened up to him about it, about how I was scared of the afterlife, and it made me feel like I wasn't fully trusting God, because if I really have a relationship with him, and if I'm a Christian, if I have faith, then I shouldn't be doubting whether I will meet God after I pass away. And so I just felt so much shame about it on my end. And the pastor, he pulled us to the side and he prayed, and his prayer was so confident
and genuine.
And when I tell you, and I'm not lying, I don't want this to sound cringy or anything, I feel so set free from that fear that I don't even tell people it's a fear of mine anymore.
Yeah.
Because I talk about the afterlife as if it's casual conversation now. Because I know what I will encounter when I die. Yeah. And it's going to be Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not going to be blank spaces. I have no question about what I'm going to encounter. And it really, really does not sit on my chest anymore. I'm not scared of it. I don't cry about it. I don't hyperventilate. I don't go into a panic. And I feel like that has been one of my biggest testimonies to God, because it was such a physical thing that weighed me down, and I feel so set free. And that's what God will do for you. I struggle with anxiety a lot. I'm the kind of person where I need to be able to make sense of everything. Like, I need a step-by-step instruction guide on what to do. I'm that kind of anxious person. But ever since starting my relationship with God, every morning, I lift up all of my worries to him. I ask him, I say, God, I lift up all of my worries to you, all of my anxiety. You're in control of this. I'm not in control of my own life. I was never meant to be. So there's no reason I should be worrying about all the small things, when in the end, it does not matter. All of this stuff that I worry about
is temporary.
Won't exist one day.
Yeah.
The only thing that exists and matters is my relationship with God, because that is eternal life with him in the end.
Yeah, and like I said before, if we're wrong, we're wrong. But if we're right, that's eternal life in heaven, and I'm not passing that up.
I'd rather receive the people shaking their head at me, calling me stupid, calling us delusional.
Yeah.
You can call me all of that. Go ahead. It's not changing anything that I feel.
I agree.
I understand that not everyone is going to agree with you, and people are going to have their own opinions and their own beliefs. And you know what? Have it. I'll still spread the word of God, and I'll still talk about my faith, because no one's going to silence me on that. If you don't want to listen to me, that's perfectly well within your right. But no.
Yeah.
No one's going to tell me that my faith is wrong.
Yeah.
Just because I wouldn't walk up to you and tell you that your faith is wrong.
That's a thing, and I feel like that's a big misconception with Christians, is that Christians, like, it's this and this and this and this, and you have to follow this law and do this to be saved, and, you know, blah blah blah. But it's really, that's not what Christians are about, you know.
And if you do ever meet someone like that, they're not a Christian.
They're not a true follower of Christ, you know. And that's what another thing we always say: we're not religious. We're followers of Christ. I'm gonna do as Christ does. I'm gonna try to be perfect. I'm not, but I'll try to be perfect as Jesus was. We're not. We're going to sin. It will always be there. But we are taught to love people the way Jesus loves people. Or, you know, love your wife as Jesus loves the church. Love your enemy like you love yourself. You know, stuff like that. So, yes, you can disagree with me. You can slander me. You can, you know, say you believe this, this, and this, and you don't like me because of my beliefs. Great. I still love you. Jesus still loves you. We just hope that hopefully you can come to terms with it one day. I mean, there's so many people that still need saving.
And don't let anyone scare you out of your faith, neither. I want to touch on the fact that, like, when you become a Christian, I feel like there's so many people out there who know you, who know your past, and they will try to make you fall back on your old self. Mm-hmm. They will say, well, all I'm saying is I really remember your past self, and how can you really be a Christian if that's what you've done? But the difference is, when you have that relationship with Christ, and when you fall in love with him, and when you follow his scripture, you are born again. You mm-hmm. are not the same person that you started out with.
No, you...
And yes, we are sinners to yeah. our core. That's what we're always going to be. Now, it may not be intentional, but that's what we are. But that's the reason why we have a forgiving God. Because all we have to do is we have to be genuine in our faith, ask for forgiveness, and repent. Mm-hmm. And then we are.
And that's the core of our faith, is Jesus defeated death and sin so that we could defeat the grave too. I mean, we're resurrected by his blood. We're resurrected because his resurrection. So to say, like, people are who they were before, that's not true. Like Kara said, you're reborn again. Like, you're reborn, period. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's just, it's a whole thing. We could do a whole episode about being reborn, honestly.
Honestly, yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. We really enjoyed sitting down to talk with you guys. We do hope that y'all stick around for the next upcoming episodes, and we look forward to talking with y'all again. Bye!